Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Now let's talk about the art of the personal evangelism, a lingering approach. A lingering approach. You have to listen. You have to listen to people. Don't just pounce on them because of the first thing that they said, and you know the Bible scripture that goes with that, and you just jump on them and strangle them for all that they're worth. You have to listen. And this particularly, I want to say this to guys. You gotta learn to listen before. Men especially have this. They got their thoughts formulated. They're ready to fire away. Chamber loaded. And I'm just waiting for you to be quiet so I can fire away.
There is an art to evangelism. And in today's message, Pastor Troy will share some tips on evangelizing. Oftentimes when believers will share the gospel with non-believers, two things can happen. Someone can end up getting talked over, top of, or the evangelism can turn into an argument. The key to evangelism is to listen to the person who you are evangelizing. The sharing of the gospel should be a dialogue, not a monologue. People need to feel heard in order to be receptive to what someone might be telling them. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
If the Christians, even the Christians who believe in the Bible, have their own caste system, then I may as well stay a Hindu. I guess no telling what caste system he would have been in. So we've got to be very careful that we don't let things like a prejudice, a cultural bias, affect us in our willingness to minister for the Lord. It also, love transcends gender. She's a woman. Verse 9, she says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" In verse 27, we'll see the disciples come back after, you know, getting some food. They come back, they notice he's talking to a woman. They don't do that. They don't say anything about it, but it's in their mind. What is he doing? I'm talking to a woman here. See, in that culture, women were esteemed as beautiful. Not bad, right? Beautiful. Men were esteemed as having a lustful heart. And beauty mixed with a lustful heart makes a mess. And so that's why in the Middle East, even today, and there are some places that are harsher on this than others, the women are covered when they're out in public. When you go to the homes and you have parties, the women are in one section, not to be seen by the men, and the men are in another section. The women don't have to have their abayas and all those things on when they're alone by themselves. They can do what they want to do together, but the guys are separate. Even in Jewish weddings, at least up until today, some of the weddings over there, the men celebrate with the men, the women celebrate with the women. They can see each other. And sometimes they'll have a little rope or something down the middle. But they hang out and they do their thing, and the girls are over there. They're kind of together, but not together. Because it wasn't good, unless it was a husband and wife, for men and women to be communicating together. It could only lead to bad things. It was not good. And so, here's the point. Jesus, he didn't care what everyone else thought or what the culture said. He saw a woman in need. He didn't go find her. He didn't go get her. He was there, obviously, God's design. And he encounters her. And he sees her as a woman in need. And so he simply shares. See, this woman needed truth. And Jesus cared enough, even though she was a woman and everyone else might have thought that wasn't a good idea. He shares the truth with her. Now, let me just say, those opportunities do come that you'll share with someone. But let me also say, we have a policy in the church that there are no men counseling with women alone, that our leaders should not end up with women that are not their wives alone in rooms or cars or whatever else it might be where there can be a hint of the wrong thing. Because in counseling, this is a safety. People are opening their heart. People become vulnerable. That does not mix. A guy who's listening and a girl who wants someone to listen, there can be the wrong messages passed, and it's not a good situation. So I talked to a young man one time, not too long ago, this past year, I think it was, not from our church, from a different small church somewhere else. And he was concerned. He called me. I don't know why me, but he called and asked about some different things about church. And we got on the subject somehow of, no, a man shouldn't be alone, you know, with someone else's wife. And he goes, well, tell me about that. And I shared a little bit with him. And come to find out, I think he resolved the situation, but the pastor of his church, because they only had one vehicle, had been giving his wife rides, lots of places, and he wasn't comfortable with it, but it was, well, it was a man of God. Let me just tell you, that's not appropriate, and it's not safe. However, there are times when you're out there at the Alamo and someone sits down and you can't go, I feel like I should share the gospel right now. She's asked a question about it, but she's a woman. No, I'm going to do it. Share the gospel. Don't go dine with her, but share the gospel. Because that's what we're called to do, whether it's a man or a woman. Share the gospel. God does that. So love transcends gender. Love transcends character also. This is an important one. Verse 16 says this. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. She kind of left it there. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the woman or the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So this girl's been in and out of relationships. She feels dejected. She feels lower than someone than the other ladies who are either married or single, both. Because once you've been married and cast aside, it's like, hey, no one else wants you. Well, four other men were willing to take her, but she's gone through them too. We don't know exactly why it has been brought up that it's possible maybe she couldn't bear children and they would divorce her. But the truth is, she's with a man now, and he's not her husband, and Jesus makes that a clear point. So, a woman who has a need to be loved. Jesus sees this, and she's been looked down upon by others. That's why she's at the well at noon. She comes at noon, the hotter time of the day, because all of the others would probably talk about her, put her down, and she didn't want to hear it. And she was somebody with her past, maybe her sensitivity to unkind words or religious talk, was probably not open to someone right away just pouncing on her with Bible or the Word of God. And notice that's not the approach that Jesus takes. He doesn't just preach to her. Well, I'm the Lord. He doesn't do that. This is a woman who's been hardened by life, calloused by her experiences. The course of her life has just gone a direction where she just feels like, this is it. I'll really have no social circle, no social friends. I'm just going to be an outcast. And she's kind of living the life that way. I'm sure she didn't mean for it to start this way. More than likely, she wanted a nice relationship with the one man. And maybe he enticed her. Maybe they married out of love, but it wasn't that deep a love, if it was, in fact, the inability to bear children that he divorced her for. We don't know. It could be that he enticed her, got from her out of the relationship what he wanted, and she was moving on in that downward spiral. Whatever the case, she probably had the best hopes and intentions, but they had been crushed. But she's a reminder that no one is too low, too crushed, too lost for the love and the grace of Jesus. Jesus is able to reach out and to save to the guttermost. He lifts up even those who feel like they're at their lowest. He came to this place, Samaria, where Jews did not travel, and he found her. She's lost, and he knows it. See, it's been said that the love of God is like the Amazon River flowing down just to water a single daisy. Everyone else in Samaria, they thought this girl was a weed, needed to be plucked up, tossed aside. No value in her. She's just a problem. She goes through men. Men will not keep her. They thought she was a weed, but Jesus sees a precious flower, and he gives her attention. He meets her where she is, and rather than condemning her, like so many before probably had, he gives her hope, which is what Jesus does to so many. So the loving attitude, it transcends culture, it transcends gender, and it transcends character. It's not looking down on those who are lost. They just don't know better. Didn't Jesus say that from the cross? I mean, at a time, I'm a Christian. I feel like I'm pretty close to the Lord. However, if I were up on the cross, I'd have thought, smite them, Lord, kill them. But Jesus showed us the example. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't get it. That's the heart we need to have with those who are lost. Father, it's obvious they don't get it. Because if they did get it, they'd be on board. They'd be able to, they'd let you straighten out their problems, but they don't get it. And that's why they remain in them. So a loving attitude. We all need to pray for that. Now let's talk about the art of the personal evangelism, a lingering approach. A lingering approach. You have to listen. You have to listen to people. Don't just pounce on them because of the first thing that they said, and you know the Bible scripture that goes with that, and you just jump on them and strangle them for all that they're worth. You have to listen. And this is particularly, I want to say this to guys. You got to learn to listen before. Men especially have this. They got their thoughts formulated. They're ready to fire away. Chamber loaded. And I'm just waiting for you to be quiet so I can fire away.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Out here is blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah. That was pretty good stuff, wasn't it? That's pretty good. You better believe it. And then they talk back, and it's like, chick, chick, low, chick, chick, low, chick, chick. All right, you done? All right, and then, man, that's the guys. So guys, we have to, that's our reputation, is we don't listen. I read something called Why Men Shouldn't Write Advice Columns. It says this. Here's the advice column and the response. Dear John, the man, I hope you can help me. The other day I set off for work, leaving my husband in the house watching TV. My car stalled and then later broke down about a mile down the road, and I had to walk all the way back to get my husband's help. When I got home, I could not believe my eyes. I caught him with our neighbor's stepdaughter. Now I'm 32, my husband's 34. The neighbor's stepdaughter is 19. We've been married for 10 years. When I confronted him, he broke down and admitted they had been having an affair for the past 6 months. He won't go to counseling, and I'm afraid I'm a wreck. I need advice urgently. Can you please help me? Sincerely, Sheila. John writes back, Dear Sheila, a car stalling after being driven a short distance can be caused by a variety of faults with the engine. Start by checking that there are no debris in the fuel line. If it's clear, check the vacuum pipes and hoses and the intake manifold, and also check all the grounding wires. If none of these approaches solves the problem, it could be that the fuel pump itself is faulty, causing low delivery pressure to the injectors. I really hope this helps, John. Yeah, that's exactly what women think very often when we're fixing the problem that wasn't the issue. Sometimes I've heard this said, I don't understand it, I just abide by it. And that is, sometimes they just want you to listen. I don't want you to fix it, just listen. And so I have done that. I did that once. It takes great discipline. It was a very successful one time. But we were laying there and she had some stuff in her heart, and so I just listened. And didn't say much of anything. Oh, I had stuff, I could fix anything, but I was so tired, I just was listening. I was awake. I would respond. And the next, as she was tired and she rolled over and went to bed, and went to sleep, I laid there and I thought, that was a waste of time. I thought, we just heard a bunch of stuff and we didn't solve a thing. I got answers, but I didn't remember. Well, the next day, she told me, she said, that was the most wonderful conversation, the most wonderful time. I was like, I still don't get it. I think I know what I'm supposed to do now, but I don't get it. So guys, get it. With your wife, listen, she's not asking for your advice, your counsel, your dear John reply, none of that stuff. Just listen. And it's easy. You don't have to say much. Just acknowledge that you have truly been taking it in. And you will have given her the best conversation. That's a bonus. That wasn't in the notes. That is a bonus. Free of charge. When that conversation comes, listen. Now, we're in with evangelism here. So let's go back to evangelism. When it comes to evangelism, we need to listen. We need to listen to where someone's coming from. Get a little more information. And rather than pouncing on the first thing, guys, listen and kind of guide them into the right direction where they need their eyes. This is exactly what Jesus does. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The first thing in our lingering approach that we want to do is appeal to human curiosity. I want to appeal to their own curiosity. Where are they at? What are they wondering about? What's interesting to them? See, lost people don't know that they're lost. And they don't need you to tell them they're lost. They don't feel lost. They don't even know what that means. In fact, none of us knew we were lost until much later on as we grew in the Lord and we look back and we go, man, I was lost. I didn't realize how far off I was. Can't believe I... One of the first times you realize this is when you watch movies that you used to love. Love this movie, man. And you've been growing in the Lord. And you said, let's bring this back. Oh, that was great. Hey, is it going to be good? Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is a great movie. You get it in there and you throw it in here and you're like, oh, wow, all the innuendo and the language. I didn't know that was in there. And you realize, man, I've changed. I was lost. I was deaf, obviously deaf, very deaf, and even blind. But now I see. So there's an appeal to human curiosity that we need to learn to do. You see, Jesus introduces her to a concept, and that is this idea of spiritual refreshment, something that she needs that she didn't realize that she needed. She's working so hard to get this physical refreshment, real water, but her soul is thirsty. She doesn't see it. She doesn't realize it. Psalm 63:1 says this, "O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." There is no water that quenches the thirst of the soul in this world. There is none. You'll not find it. No matter what you chase, no matter what you attain, you will never find that which will quench the thing you're longing for in your heart. Because God has set us here with something missing. And he's the only one who can fill the void. So Jesus uses what marketers might call a hook. Notice he didn't just jump on her and tell her who he was and here's what you need. He was softer in his approach than that. Instead, he makes her think about something better than she has. Well, how about some living water? Wouldn't you like life to be better? It gives her something to want to find out more about. Here's an example. You're watching the news with someone and someone sees the news, and in watching the news, they go, man, what is this world coming to? What's going on in the world? And instead of you jumping in there and taking your Bible and going, psh, I got the answer, you would approach this way. Well, it seems to me that the world is right on schedule. Excuse me? What do you mean by that? If they're curious, they may ask a question to push in a little bit further. What do you mean it's on schedule? Where do you get this from? Well, let me share with you. And you can tell them why you have the hope that you have, why you feel so confident, even though it seems like things are falling apart. Did you know that part of the church's role is to pique the curiosity of the world? They should watch you and go, you make no sense. Why would you do that? Why would you live that way? Why would you sacrifice for an invisible God you can't even see? He doesn't even give you anything. Look at how you're, look, you don't have as much money as I have, and yet you're happy. I hate that. How is that? We pique their curiosity, or we're supposed to. We're not supposed to live our lives in their system so that it makes sense by their judgment. Like, of course I know why you're doing that. You're chasing the dollar, you're chasing the promotion, you're chasing all these. I would do the same thing. Now, the difference between you and me is you're a little more nice about it, you're a little more moral, and I'm not. But other than that, it doesn't whet their appetite. They're not curious about what we have that they don't have. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says that God sent the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it was that sound that piqued the curiosity of the people and that brought them to the place. And then they see tongues going on. And what was interesting, this was a miraculous experience because it says the people heard them speaking in tongues in their own language. So you have, and it lists different people, different groups, different languages, in other words. So I would go there and I'm like, oh, they're speaking English. No, no, they're speaking Greek. No, no, they're speaking Latin or Hebrew. Like, oh, no, you're crazy. It would wet, like, what is this? What's going on? And it was a supernatural move of God. Piqued their curiosities, and they listened to Peter. G. Campbell Morgan commented on that text at Pentecost and said this, "The trouble today is that the world is no longer amazed and perplexed because there's nothing to amaze or perplex them going on in the lives of God's people." We're in the same messes. We're making the same decisions. We're after the same things. We're not sacrificing the way a Christian would normally sacrifice. There's nothing that makes them go, why would you do that? What, man, why are you pursuing that? Why is that going on in your life? There's nothing any different. So Jesus appeals to human curiosity. Look how she responds, verse 11. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.'"
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your